Welcome to Passionate and Practical, the art of dreaming, doing, and serving. I'm your host, Lexi, and today I have my friend Christy Reynolds on the show. We got connected, I guess, a few years ago from a dear friend of mine, Jen Sullivan. I kept hearing Christy's name come up as one of her dearest friends, and I finally put a face to the name a few months ago and just fell in love with this woman just as soon as I met her and got to know her. I am drawn to her personality by her lightheartedness, her kindness, and just the fact that she is on the mission. She's on mission for Jesus, but she doesn't take herself too seriously. And that is something I desperately need in my life right now. So I am super thankful to have Christy on the show. She is a sign language interpreter. She is an owner in an amazing business called Doxology. It's a boutique that has a prayer wall, and it's just this beautiful, beautiful environment that is so welcoming. And she is also a mom and a wife of, well, a mom of three kids, a wife to one. So welcome to the show, Christy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Christy, tell me what you are passionate about.
Gosh, I would say I'm very passionate about deaf community. I'm passionate about, with my career right now, is probably my, next to my kids and my husband, is my biggest focus of what's going on in my life right now.
I love it.
Bringing, helping women to feel beautiful and to feel their worth in Jesus, not just in what the world says that we should feel our worth in.
I love that. So tell us a little bit about your family and kind of your current stage of life.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I am married to Tom. We will be married 20 years in May. Amazing. And we are high school sweethearts. So we've been together 25 years, and we got married very young, which I do not recommend. It has worked for us, but it has been work. It is by far my favorite relationship in my life. And my favorite thing about my life is my husband. Mm-hmm. We have so much fun together, and he's the funniest person I know. And we just are really, we're very opposite, and yet we have a lot of common interests. We're opposite in personality, but we have common interests. And how we look at the world. We have three kids. Lily is 12, Gus is 9, and Posey is 5. She was our little surprise, and the best surprise. I have been a stay-at-home mom since I started having kids. Before that, my whole career was as a sign language interpreter. Mm-hmm. I was always interested in sign language. I was introduced at church when I was about 12 years old, really, is when I first started learning it. Before that, I knew the alphabet, and it just became a passion of mine. Mm-hmm. And God kept putting deaf people in my life. And my mom would say, Christy, God's saying you are supposed to be an interpreter. And I would say, no, I'm not, Mom. I'm meant to be a chauffeur, a photographer. I had six majors in college, one of them being interpreting. And I kept going back to it. And so I just really finally was like, okay, God, you know better. And so I started doing that. And I've had an amazing career. Absolutely have loved it as an interpreter. I worked at Disney for, gosh, over a decade, as one of their show interpreters. And, I've interpreted for presidents. I've done Broadway. I've done everything, which has been really cool. And so when I had kids, I was able to continue to interpret because the schedule allows me to do it whenever I want. There's always a need. So I kept doing that. And then, last year in December, Doxology fell into my lap. And so I've shelved the whole career aspect of interpreting. I now only do it as an interpreter for Rock the Universe at Universal. I do that. And other than that, I interpret most Sundays at Mosaic, and I feel very much like I'm to interpret for Jesus now. I don't need to do it for monetary gain anymore. There's nothing wrong with that. obviously I've loved it. I just feel that at this point in my life, that that is what God has called me to do. And mm-hmm. so he's given me this whole other new thing to learn in this time. So
that is amazing. I, in eighth grade, learned Switchfoot's We Were Meant to Live in sign language. So okay. that's the only thing, and my ABCs, I could do that. But it was really fun to learn. That was a really unique way to learn, and kind of, there's a lot of emotion that goes into it and a lot of facial expression mm-hmm. and it's a lot of gestures, all gestures, and just the way to communicate. It's really, really neat. So tell us a little bit more about doxology and the story behind that and how you got thrown into that.
Sure. So in Winter Garden, there was another store that was in our same location, and they were a franchise. They have several locations. They had several locations around the country, and I was a fan of the store. I would shop there, you know, periodically as my budget would allow, and I just really loved it. And when I walked into the space for the first time, it was with my friend, now business partner, Erica. We had gone to their soft opening, and I walked in, and I remember even saying to her, "Gosh, I just wish I could live here. Like, I just loved the space so much." And so their business, unfortunately, did not work out for them. And so last December, they sent me, I'd become friends with the owner and of this franchise, and she sent me a message saying we were closing. And so if I knew of anybody who was looking to start a business. And so I immediately beelined over there to the store and was talking with her. And I just said, you know, gosh, I said, I wish I could buy this. I mean, I literally stood in the store and said, I wish I could buy this. And then I said, but I learned the first thing about retail. I'm a sign language interpreter. I couldn't do this. I said, but I have a big mouth, so I'll tell a lot of people, you know, and see if somebody maybe is interested. So I walked out the door, and the first person I called was my friend Erica, who was the first person I'd gone into the store with before. And I said, you're never going to believe this, but they're closing. And she was like, what? And I said, I know. And I said, they're looking for somebody to buy everything. Want to like start their own thing. And it was just kind of quiet. And I said, what if we bought it? Like, just kind of is like, I'm just gonna like throw that out there. And she said, that would be amazing.
Wow.
And so we just joked about it. I would say dreamt about it for for several weeks. And it turns out there was another person who was interested in it. And because I reached out and I said, hey, we're willing to meet with you and just hear what you're thinking of, you know, like what your dollar figure is, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we actually have somebody else already interested. And so we were like, oh, we don't have to do it then. Like, we already, you know, we just said we would try, you know, we would be willing. And so a few weeks later, they called me and said, that fell through. Are you still interested in talking with us?
Wow.
So I called Erica back and I said, what do you think? And we talked to our husbands. I mean, we talked at length over this. We really wanted to go about this in the wisest way possible. And it was just absolutely crazy from the start. Like, why, how could we even do this? And so we met with him and the ball started rolling. God started opening crazy doors for us to do this. Like, it started to become very obvious that we could do this because he was literally paving the way for it to happen. Wow. And which was amazing and a little scary at the same time. I will tell you that behind the scenes, at least in my home, there was so much turmoil over the decision to do it because of my husband has his own business. Hmm. And it's a very successful business, but he runs it from home. And so he's here a lot. And I have been the one taking care of kids, meals, you know, all of that. And now here I am saying, I also want to leave the house and start this business, and I'm not going to be here as much, you know, and what does that look like for us? And so the back and forth was excruciating at times. Mm-hmm. There were lots of tears, and yet I felt he was always supportive in saying that he will support whatever I decide to do. My parents also, they live with us half of the year. We have a little house on our property that they live in.
Wow. It's
amazing to have grandparents on hand like that for my kids. But you know, everybody said, we will support whatever it is that you decide. And so I just kept on feeling, it was the back and forth. It was the mom guilt of, what am I doing to my kids? Am I abandoning them if I go do this? You know, I'm not going to be as accessible. And at the same time, I will have a business partner with me who also is a mom, who also gets it, and we can have more balance than if either one of us had tried to do this alone. And so what would that look like for us? What would it look like for my kids? And I just kept on thinking, this is an amazing opportunity. I will always regret if I don't just try it. I can always walk away, right? I mean, there's nothing that is so permanent that I can't just say, you know what, this isn't working out for me. I'm done. Close up shop. And so I just felt like I told Tom, I said, if I got to the end of my life, I think that this would be my one regret is that, why did I not try that one time? Because it's scary. I mean, it's scary to be responsible for employees, and it's scary to, you know, to make an order for a piece of clothing that you really, it might be more pricey and you're like, I really hope that that's going to sell and we're going to get our money back on it. And there's no guarantee, you know, it's hard to get people to come through the door. It is a lot of work. And what also is true is that I'm loving it. It is so challenging. It has helped me to feel a different kind of fulfillment for myself. And that's the one thing I kept going back to was, I know that I am there for my kids. I know that I am a good mom. I'm not the best mom. I screw up every day. I yell. I say things that are hurtful. I am a human, you know.
Yes.
And my very best friend told me, Christy, what makes you a good mom is that you care. What makes a good mom is somebody who cares enough to never stop trying to be better. She said the moms that just give it up, they're not good moms, but you are a good mom. And so I kept telling myself that this also makes me a good mom, because now I'm much more intentional when I am with my kids. I would say my time is much more focused with them than it ever was before when I was here all the time.
I can imagine that, because I feel like when there's times where I've had busier seasons where I've had more commitments, I've been really a better mom, because I'm like, okay, I only have 2 hours with my son today, so I'm going to play on the floor. I'm going to read the books. I'm going to do the thing. But when I always say that my husband is the sprinter and I'm the marathon runner. So he comes home and he has all this energy and he's playing and tickling and wrestling and all this stuff. And for me, I'm like, I got to sustain this energy. So I'm just kind of floating by. So I love that picture of just saying, this is not an either or statement. It's an and statement. I can be a business owner and a great mom. And so I love that in this time in, I think, our world, we're looked at as either one or the other. And I love that you're rocking both and that you're saying that you're going to screw up. And that is, we are human. And I think that I just heard this beautiful thing. Our kids need to hear three things from us. I love you. I'm proud of you. And I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we're willing to apologize and show them the human in us, then really they can get behind that and they learn grace themselves. And it's just really powerful. So how have you seen them come through and just support you with either their comments or any kind of special thing that they've done for you?
I would say, I mean, my kids go to a little Christian school, which we just love. And it's so small. There's only one class per grade and everybody really knows everybody there. A lot of the families also go to church with us, which is great. So there's really a lot of overlap there. And people were very supportive. My friends were all like, go for it. You should do this. This is totally right up your alley. You know, you're going to rock this, you know? And I felt that like I would do well with it. I felt that Erica and I were really good team. We really balance each other out. She is so much like my husband and his gifting as far as business sense. And I'm much more of the dreamer of like, let's do this, you know, and she figures out like, can we make it happen financially, you know? So having support from friends was easy. My kids, when I hear from people at the school or at church that say, Your daughter is so proud of you. She tells everybody, my mom owns the best store in Winter Garden, Doxology. You should go there.
That when is I the sweetest. That,
and I hear that from my 12-year-old daughter, and I hear it also said from my 5-year-old daughter.
Wow.
And me as a mom that has 2 girls, Erica has 3 girls, we've talked a lot about what does it look like for our girls to see their moms trying something completely new.
Hmm.
And really challenging themselves. And I am not a, I am woman, hear me roar kind of feminist right. kind of person. I am not that at all. And what also is true is that it feels really good to show them that you can do hard things. You
Amen.
Can do things that scare you, that you think, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, but we're doing it. And so they come into the store with me and are in the back with me. And Posey likes to take the keys when I'm there at the store, and they come, you know, to work with me sometimes, which it happens, or in after school drop off before someone picks them up or whatever. And she takes the keys and goes around and locks the dressing rooms and talks to all the customers and, you know, and they're stamping bags for me. And, you know, just, it's very much a family kind of project with that. And so to see that they, I've heard both though, I'll be honest, there have been times when they're like, we wish that you were here. Mm. So, and that's hard to hear.
Yeah.
And I have to be strong enough to understand that they are sharing their feelings and I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to hear how they're feeling. And it also is, those are gentle reminders to me to when I am home, I really need to be done working.
Mm.
I need to like not be on my laptop, not be on my phone. I really need to be more focused about being with them. So, you know, it works both ways with kids.
Yeah, that's so true. And I got chills when you said that about your daughter and just her sharing the excitement with you and sharing that you should go check it out. And the cool thing is like, what a time to, so for my listeners that haven't heard my recent episodes, I was living in Chattanooga when I started this podcast. Now I'm in Winter Garden, Florida. So Winter Garden is the city next to the town that I grew up in. And it is just booming here. And it's just such a quaint small town. There's one main street that has restaurants and shops it's kind of a golf cart community where people kind of take their golf carts from their home to the downtown area. And Doxology is right in the heart of downtown. And it's this beautiful store. I mean, I'll link all of the Instagram and the website to the show notes, but it's just a beautiful store that you walk in and it's extremely hospitable. The people that work there are smiling. They're talking to you. They're saying, hey, check this new romper out that we've got. And I love that y'all have this price range, a real big range in prices. So someone could come in and spend $20 to $30, or they can come in and spend over $100 on one item. And I love that because it's like wherever you are in the fashion world of there's some high-end brands and there's some that are really just affordable. And I want every piece of furniture that is in there. I'm like, Blake, I want to decorate my house like this. So it's just this really warm and inviting and welcoming space, but it's beautiful. And God, as a creator, I think he loves beautiful things. And I think as women, we're drawn to beautiful things. And so tell us a little bit about your heart for that piece of it and what the heart behind kind of the prayer wall. And have you seen any of these prayers being answered and people kind of feeling moved to this message of the gospel or sharing deep and hard things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, it's a two-part thing. So the first part being, it goes into like the thought behind the store. I know you mentioned the price point. It was also very important to me. My mom is plus size and has been my whole life. And so as a little girl, when I would go shopping with her and I would see her face change when we would get to like her section and when we would have to say, where is the plus size section or where is the woman's section? And as a little girl, I became very brazen. It's probably my 8 wing 7 or whatever the Enneagram coming out. But I started going up to the salespeople and saying, where are your real sizes? Because
that's hilarious.
I felt like I wanted to protect my mom, protect protect her heart. And so when we decided to do this, we talked about, we're going to have plus sizes. And not only are we going to have plus sizes, but they're going to be beautiful and they're going to be affordable. And guess what? They're not going to be in a special section. They're going to be mixed in. So everybody will get to shop where everybody gets to shop.
Wow.
It's not going to be, you have to go to this one little area of the store that fits only you. No, you're going to look, and we're going to try to find things that are comparable, no matter if you are a size 2 or a 2X. So that, and finding, really encouraging women, we have scriptures and things written in the dressing rooms on the mirrors, because we want women to know, how does God see you? Like, that pair of jeans that you bring in here, they may not fit you. And it's okay. How does God see you? Like, where is your beauty really?
Wow.
You know? And so Erica says, and I love this, that our dressing room is a battlefield, and it really is. And I feel very, very passionately and strongly that we need to be a space that women, it's okay if it doesn't fit.
Wow. You know,
that they are met not just with great clothes, but they are met with the gospel, and they are met with Jesus, who loves them and sees them for who they are, even more than we can see them. So our little sanctuary is right in the middle of our store. That's the second part. Literally, it is a little church building right in the middle of our store. And it's the first thing you see when you walk in. And we encourage people to come and write prayers and praises and hang them on the wall. And every morning before we open our doors, we each, the girls who work for us, if they want to, they can. We don't force anybody to do it. But Erica and I, as leaders, we each take one off and we pray aloud for that person, or we praise whatever is written. And it's a very heavy space. Mm-hmm. It is hard to stand there and to literally look around on these walls and see people's need for Jesus. Some people that know they need Jesus, and some people that don't know that they need Jesus. And they write things like, I want my destiny, or whatever, you know, like, I, you know, please give me all these things. And it's like, we always bring it back to Jesus in our prayer for them, because we know that Jesus is the only thing that really is going to fill that God-sized hole in our hearts, you know?
Absolutely.
So it is an honor to read what people write and to hear the hurt, and we don't know if we're going to be praying in the right time. I mean, sometimes people are like, so-and-so is having surgery. We don't know if the surgery is still yet to come or has already happened, but God knows. Yep. And God knows the heart behind it. And so we literally pray every day, and then we take it off the wall and we draw a little cross on the back of it, so we know it's been prayed for. We put it down in our suitcase, which is on the ground, and it is filling up. And it is really so powerful when I see people come in and they are very emotional when they, when they're writing their prayers down. And the great thing about this, I would say, about having doxology, is I am able to talk about Jesus every single day now. Not that I wasn't able to before. I was, you know, in my circles of influence, but my circle of influence has grown so much more now. Even with choosing the name Doxology as our store, that is a conversation starter. And so,
yeah, tell me what Doxology means.
Yeah. So when I was growing up, we sang the Doxology, which is praise God from whom blessings flow. We sang that every Sunday. And so that was just a part of it. I mean, that was a part of my home. My mom had me stencil it on her wall when I was in high school for her. Aww. And so we've had it, you know, like, it's been part of my life. And so when we decided to do this, we were tossing around ideas of a name, and we were like, you know, I don't know, Thread and Thistle, or, you know, whatever, like just coming up with these like cutesy names that you would think of sound like a clothing store. And one day after swim lessons, I'm driving down 50 with my kids. And all of a sudden it was like, God was like, Doxology. And so I immediately picked up my phone while I was driving, I admit it, and called Erica and said, what do you think about Doxology? And she said, I love it.
Oh.
And that was it. From then on, it was Doxology. And we, it was really cool because my sister-in-law is an amazing hand letterer. She has a company called Cobblestone Road Lettering, and she did a giant canvas of the Doxology, and it has hung in my home for years. She made it for my birthday years ago. So we hung that in the store. So that is a very prominent thing in our store. So doxology in the Bible would be a time where they would stop and they would praise God. And so that's what we want to be doing. We want people to feel Jesus when they come in our store, and they want to see us, we want them to see us praising him in all things,
amazing.
So our tagline, I'm wearing my shirt today, but it is Stitched in Praise. That is our tagline.
Stitched in Praise. I love that. For me, I'm so passionate about women and women knowing their identity in Christ. And there are so many women today on social media that are comparing themselves to others, that are looking to someone who is a size smaller than them, or they have better hair, or they have better this. And I love that instead of avoiding a space that could oftentimes be a stumbling block, you're redeeming that space and saying, you are welcome here. When you look in that mirror, I want you to look and see what God sees. And you don't have to say it because it's written on the wall and this space is prayed over. And what a beautiful, beautiful, heavy space, but an amazing opportunity for women to walk in feeling heavy and maybe some insecurities, but walk out feeling confident and loved and feeling hope. That is such an incredible, incredible ministry. And like you said, that space where the prayers are written is heavy, but just to be able to put them in the suitcases and just know that those women, those people have been prayed over. And just, I am just so in awe of what you all are doing and think it's just such a brave thing. And eights. So you're an Enneagram 8 as I am.
Yes.
8 Wing 7. So the 8 is the challenger, which is kind of this brave, bold, go-getter type of personality. And then the 7 is the enthusiast. So that's like, I'm down for anything. I'm down for the adventure. I'm down for the fun. If it's not fun, I'm not going. So how have you seen that play out in your business in a way that, is really shining?
I am an 8, and I have had different times throughout my life where I have been very bold in my words and bold in my actions, sometimes for Jesus, sometimes it was Jerry Springer. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I say there's a lot of Jesus in me,
a little bit
of Jerry Springer that comes out. So
I have to figure out what my alter ego is, like a gangster. So I feel you.
So I would say with this business now, I have had to force myself to say no to people, which is not easy for me to do, really. Even being an 8, you know, I am still have a people pleaser. There's got to be a people pleaser wing in there somewhere for sure. I really like to make people happy and don't want people to be upset with me. And so it has been very difficult to say no to things. So that has been good that I've been challenged with that. Even when I talked at the beginning about God opening up doors for us. One of the things that we have, which I love about our store, it's a big white building, but it has black and white striped awnings. And we really wanted that. We wanted it to be very visually, like really cool looking from the outside, that wants to make people want to go in and see what's in. But when we were starting, we had an awning company come out and they were like, oh, you can't have stripes. This is Winter Garden. You can't do it. And I was like, what? What do you mean we can't do it? And he said, no, they have guidelines for the city and you have to follow them. It has to be a solid color. It has to be a neutral color, no patterns, no stripes. He left and I turned to Erica and I said, like, I'm going to find out for sure.
Yes.
Comes the 8 in me, you know? And she said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to City Hall. We literally walked to City Hall. I had never been in City Hall ever in my life.
This is such a good story.
And I was like, we're going to City Hall, Erica. And as we're walking up, I had one person's name that worked there. That was it. I didn't even know if she was going to really be able to help us or not. And Erica said, she looked at me and she said, what are we going to say? I said, Erica, we're going to fake it till we make it. We're going to go in there and we're going to ask questions. Like, we're going to pretend like we know what we're doing, being brave. So we walked in. I asked to speak with this lady. She came right out. She took us in a conference room and she sat down and she said, how can I help you? What can I help you with? And we told her our idea, you know, about the store. And I said, tell me about things like awnings. I said, we want to make sure that we're in compliance with all of your rules, but explain this to me. And she's like, the sweetest, most soft-spoken, dear woman. She's like, yeah, those are our rules, and, you know, it can't be patterned or whatever. And she said, did you have something else in mind? And I said, yeah, I did. I wanted stripes. And it, because when you're down on Plant Street, mm-hmm. which is the main drag, and you look down Main Street, I want people to think, oh, what's that store down there? With, you know, is that a store? What is it? And she said, I think I can make that happen for you.
Wow.
I mean, it was as if somebody had turned on a fan and my hair blew back. I was like, whoosh, like, are you kidding me? Like, seriously? You're going to make this happen? You're going to go against the rules? I got teary immediately. Oh. And it was like, God was like, wait for it.
Wait. Oh, that's so cool. I've literally gotten chills four times in this conversation. God is just all over your story and this season of life. And it's so exciting to just know you and watch and be a part of this. And I'm super, super grateful for your heart. And so one thing that we chatted about before we jumped on here is just your ability to be lighthearted and to have fun in all the things that you do. So for me, being a fellow 8-Wing 7, sometimes I get in the heavy and I forget to come up and take a breath of air and let my hair down and just have a good time. And knowing that Jesus is in that space too. So how do you surround yourself? How do you cultivate a space where you feel free to be yourself and be goofy and not fear what others are going to think of you? Because that is my biggest weight on my shoulder, is like, if I crack a joke, are they going to laugh? Or did I say something wrong? Or I'm so confident. I'm so bold and confident in this meeting, but then I get in my car and I start replaying all the things I said. So how do you combat some of those things and just have a good time?
Well, I've always have loved to have fun and always loved to dance and laugh and, you know, as a little girl and do music and shows and all that kind of stuff. I would say that one thing that has really helped me to get to where I am now is as an interpreter. I mean, I was paid to wave my hands around and make funny faces at people, like literally. I mean, now I do it for free at church and people are like, you're so expressive. And I'm like, I can't turn it off. Like my friends say, my face talks before my mouth ever does. You know where you stand with me because I can't turn my face off. It's just who I am. So I think that that has helped me in not taking myself so seriously, because I'm literally, I mean, my face is going crazy on the stage every Sunday, you know, and I get very passionate because our pastor is so passionate. It's like copying his passion. It's just hard to not be. So, you know, you kind of can't take yourself too seriously if you're going to be, you know, doing that. But I would say also finding things that make, and finding people around you that encourage that in you and allow you to be your true self like that. Because I think that we all have that within ourselves to a certain degree, some more than others. But like I have my Jen being one of them. Jen and our friend Francis are two of my very best friends in the world. And we go out almost every week together and see movies. We are the, you know, three chicks together seeing a flick. So we are, you know, and I get to be my true, true self with them. They get to see the funny. They get to see the ugly. They get to walk with me through the hurt. And having people to be around you to help you just really, I guess, just say be your true self that you don't have to put on airs with. And so the other thing is that I'm very, in the past, I have been very passionate about throwing parties. Mm-hmm. I love to be hospitable. I love to share with people. I love to give. I'm very passionate about being generous. Mm-hmm. And for me, sometimes it's monetary being generous, and sometimes it is with, I'm going to make an experience for you to make it be something that is beautiful or something that is really unique. So like, I love Halloween. It's my favorite day of the year is Halloween. I have thrown elaborate dinner parties. I'm talking 40 people at one giant long table down my whole house.
Fun.
With candles hanging from the ceiling and stuff. And, you know, or like we threw a Christmas vacation themed party last year. I threw an 80s prom, literally an entire prom at my house.
Wow.
And so, you know, those things, it's the fun of planning and getting excited and thinking about how are people going to think about this? Are they going to have as much fun as I hope that they do, you know? And I think it's making space for that in your life to doing fun things and to giving yourself permission. It doesn't have to, we don't have to be serious all the time. Hmm. There's a time to be serious. And don't you think that Jesus and like the disciples cracked each other up? I think that they did. I think that
they
probably laughed. They probably had inside jokes. Yeah. You know, so like, you know, we are human and God gives us humor and fun for a reason, you know?
God, Jesus says, come to me with childlike faith. And I think that if children were that drawn to Jesus, then he had to be fun because kids just don't like boring people. That's just the reality. So yeah, such a good reminder. And I love that visual of the disciples and Jesus just laughing. I think that that is a beautiful thing to strive towards is in our community is just to be able to say, it's okay to laugh and it's okay to have fun along this crazy journey. And if you aren't laughing, you're going to end up just drained and empty and just beat up. And so thank you for that encouragement. I've had so much fun chatting with you today. It's just been so, there's so many things that I absolutely just adore about your personality. Learning that you're an 8-wing 7, your passion for hospitality and generosity, two things that I really am passionate about as well as letting women see who God created them to be. So just a lot of stuff that our listeners are going to absolutely love you and as I already do, and just super thankful for your time here this morning.
Well, thank you. This has been an honor to get to be asked to be on this. So thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. If this message has encouraged you, then please click to subscribe and share with a friend who may be inspired by the message. Also, if you have an event coming up and you're looking for a speaker, click the link below to get in touch with me.